What's up, Eugene?
Hey, Jamie.
How's it going?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. This is Espresso.
It's Animado, guys.
And welcome to the Capoeira Podcast. Okay, so this is a very special show with a very special guest. We can't wait to get into it with you in just a few moments. So let's get some business out of the way. We have some events coming up.
April 2nd through the 5th, Capoeira Angola Center of Mestre João Grande is celebrating 25 years in New York City. Visit the website www.jaogrande.com. JOAOGRANDE.com for more details. You can even PayPal your payments to them for the event.
Nice.
Technology. I love it.
All the way out in Europe, Cordas de Ouro Helsinki invites you to spend the Easter weekend with them, full of workshops and music and Afro-Brazilian culture with Mestre Papa Leguas. It'll take place April 3, 4, and 5. So if you're in Finland and you're looking to do something out there, definitely hit them up.
All right, moving on. Capoeira Batuque Valley fundraiser party at Akabar in West Hollywood, Thursday, April 9th. All funds raised from this event go towards supporting the Valley Capoeira Batuque XL Escrima Academy, Martial Arts Academy, for their Batizado this year. Akabar, that sounds familiar.
It does, and we're going to keep it at that.
Out in Utah Valley Capoeira, Utah is having their Batizado April 8th through the 11th. Check it out. It's utahcapoeira.com for more details. That's Mestre Jamaica School, Volta Miuda Capoeira. I've seen him come out to events out for Batuque. He's an amazing capoeirista.
Yeah, they're definitely a brother like school.
Yeah.
We're friends with a lot of their upper chords and their students.
He's got some jokes too. He's pretty funny.
Yeah, super cool guy. Super cool school. Check it out if you're not doing anything out in Utah. April 10th to the 11th. Mestre Urubu, Capoeira Ije Shah in San Francisco, April 10th to 11th of that weekend. It's up north in Northern California. There should be a lot of cool people like Mestre Andesueli, Mestre Cordion. Also, it says wear white.
Oh, yes. Mestre is very big on that.
Yes.
Throughout the event.
Mm-hmm. In Chicago, Formanda Colibri from Capoeira Brazil is having her second Batizado the week of April 16th. She's a really great female capoeirista. I met her when I was at a Batizado in Seattle, and I took a workshop from her. Really nice, really cool. So check that out.
Awesome.
All right, cool. So let's get down to another piece of business. Last episode, we put out a sweepstakes. We got some really cool bracelets from Instructora Foquinha.
Thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, East Bay Capoeira Brazil. You guys are awesome. And we are to announce the winner. So the winner is...
Dun, 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 dun.
Majingueta from Utah. Thank you so much for competing. Actually, there really was no competition.
She was...
the only one.
The only one, and we appreciate that. And so we're sending you...
some bracelets.
Some bracelets from...
thank you for getting off of your ass and doing some music.
Yes, please. We appreciate that.
Yes. So, we'll be sending that to you probably in the next few days. We'll get your address. So, congratulations to you.
Right on.
All right. So, let's get on to this episode, actually. While you're hearing this, Eugene and I are having a date right now.
Yes. I'm all dressed fancy in my J. Crew outfit.
I'm wearing J. Crew too.
Having dinner with our pinkies up in the air.
Yeah, we're having a seafood tower too, by the way.
Where is it?
We have dinner reservations nearby. I'm actually taking Eugene out for his Christmas present. We have sixth row center seats to Newsies at the Pantages.
Boys.
Right? Eugene's going to have better luck at these guys more than me, I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know, it draws a good heterosexual crowd, too.
It's true. All right, so this episode is actually more or less a conversation with Contramestre Xingu.
Yeah, it was a great conversation.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, or you're not from LA or California, Contramestre Xingu is from Capoeira Batuque. He's also one of the, he's pretty much the first school to open up in the San Fernando Valley here in Los Angeles.
I didn't know that until you told me. I was like, really?
Yeah. He's That's also cool. My teacher for, I think I've been training for now for about
14?
10 years. So he's been my teacher for about 8 years. And I still go to his school at least once a month to train out there. I still have a lot of friends. And no, Shingu's awesome. And he's still definitely one of those people that is just like a phone call away, or I could just like visit his school and talk to him about anything.
Even for this conversation, like going over there, it felt like we picked up right where we left off. Like without skipping a beat, we started talking about Capoeira, started talking about his school.
Yeah.
And so it was good to see him again.
Yeah. So I hope you guys enjoy this interview with Contramaestre Shingu. So this is the Capoeira Podcast, episode 14, coming at you right now.
My name is Shingu Del Rosario. My Capoeira name is Shingu.
I had no idea. I thought Shingu meant something.
Oh, it is. It's a tribe in Brazil. Well, there's a big story on that, the backstory on that, but I don't know if we have enough time for that.
No worries.
Well, okay.
Yeah, it's more of a... I can kind of go into it. It's more of a... basically, I was raised in a single-family home, uh-huh. And my father was a very, very bad person. Mm-hmm. And to the point of the extent, because my mom is very superstitious, when something bad happened like, a while back, it was like, you got to get rid of your name.
Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
and,
crazy.
And it's more of a superstitious thing. In the Chinese culture, they always say, like, demons chase certain people. That's why they give their male, their male boys female names.
Oh.
So, and it's weird, because I didn't know that Filipinos were very superstitious.
They are.
Yeah.
It's very similar.
Oh, my gosh. When I went to the Philippines, I heard so much stuff.
So my mom felt that because the name that I had prior... was his that it would have bad stuff attached to it.
Huh.
So it kind of just begged me. It was crazy.
Trip up.
Yeah.
And then, so you're not actually from LA, even though you reside out here. Where are you from?
I am originally from Northern California, and I was I was born in South San Francisco. Then I grew up in after a bad incident because of my father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could talk about it now. He basically, he tried to murder my mom.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, it's pretty funny, because, I could say I was born in blood, basically. Like, because when I was a kid, the incident that happened, it was just blood all over me, and I didn't even know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's weird, because growing up, I don't remember anything... before the age of 7. I only remember it from the 7 on.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah, because I got kidnapped, too, by him after the incident, and I don't know. I don't remember anything.
That's intense.
Yeah, so, and then, you know, growing up, it became, we started off super poor, and just had to go from the ground up, man, and just, you know, did a lot of bad things, but...
And how did you find Capoeira?
Well, Capoeira actually saved me from those bad things.
Yeah, how did you find it?
My brother actually found it. I used to do Kung Fu, and I would get in trouble because I couldn't stay still in the class. So I'd go into a horse stance, and they're like, okay, you know, and then I would, right when they, like, turn the back, I'd run to the bag and start punching the wooden dummy in the bag. I was angry.
Uh-huh.
I was just an angry kid. My brother was even more. He's the one that found it, and I got kicked out when I was younger, and he was like, dude, there's this thing called Capoeira, you probably like it, check it out. And I was like, what's that? You know, and I got put into martial arts because of what my father did to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So she always made me, it made the point that I have to learn how to defend myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it did, it saved me, and it really, really helped me develop skills that I never really, even to this day, that I'm still developing.
What kind of skills?
One for me is community and relying on people, because I grew up in the streets. I grew up from the streets. It wasn't like, we had drug dealers that lived across the street from us. I remember seeing them killing their grandfather with a baseball bat.
Whoa.
And I'm like, you know, and this is these guys would sometimes go on our property, and my uncle came out with a shotgun. Yeah, wow. It's pretty crazy. So it wasn't, at the time where I lived, it wasn't safe. Now it's like neighborhood watch, it's all Silicon Valley.
It's gentrified, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what it did teach me was community, because I had my motto that was taught to me by my brother, who pretty much raised me. My mom had to work three jobs because we had nothing. My father took everything. And basically, because my mom wasn't educated in the judicial system of how America is, she just didn't want to deal with it. She's like, take everything, I'm gone.
Wow.
So my what Capo taught me was like, okay, you need to learn how to work with people. Because for me, fighting, I liked it. I still do, and you can't do that, though. You can't be like, because for me, I feel like it's disrespecting any art form that you do when you just want to go out there and mash someone's head in.
What school did you come from? Like, who was your favorite? Who was your first?
My first
teacher?
Mestre was Mestre Valguinho from Capora San Jose. Awesome guy, because what he taught me was how to enjoy this art form, the movements and stuff. It wasn't like fight first. Even though he came from a fighting background, like he used to be people's coaches for a lot of their tournaments back in the days. I have footage of it, it's pretty awesome. And he was like a champion coach for a lot of men who know how to strategy and whatnot. But first thing he wanted us to do was do a lot of body motion and understand our body and understand interaction.
And how would he do that?
He would make up pretty cool games. One that was really cool, like, was a strobe light. He turned off all the lights, and he turned on a strobe light. And you're like, when you're
talk
playing
about messing with your senses.
Yeah, yeah. You would do like the person would do a kick. You're like, oh, there it is, and then it blinks. It's right in your face. You're like, whoa.
That's different. It's definitely just confuse your senses, confuse your sense of timing.
Well, it was awesome because ever since that happened, I mean, I remember a lot of us were like, oh man, we gotta train. Because so we would train even after training by going to nightclubs and like raids and practice capoeira. Because if you kick someone, you're gonna get into a fight, so you have to control your body. We were like, oh, you gotta control yourself.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so we did that for a long time. All the way up until when I left San Jose.
What year was that you left?
I left in like 97. The year coming to 97, right after high school, like middle of 97-ish.
Were you a professor by that time or not yet?
No. I've been in Capoeira. I was like, it's funny because now that I think that, because my first mess today, we would sometimes not have a bachizada.
Oh wow!
So we would skip. So it was like it wasn't. We never like okay, not this year. It's gonna be. And I don't know if it's because we didn't have enough people or whatnot. But some I remember we skipped a couple. So when I came in there, I was like, what was that? I was like about to become an amarelo, around there, I believe. Yeah. And I remember when I first came out here. I mean, there was no capoeira.
Yeah, I was about to ask you, how was it like when you first moved here, and how did you decide to start in the Valley?
When I first moved out here, I really do thank Valguinho for letting me go, basically going train with Mestre Man. That's the only guy there. Because there's some people in this day and age that I've seen that don't want to let go to grow. They're like, still stick with them, then go, okay, well, you know what, I want to continue on what you're teaching me over here, but it's like, for me personally, I'm thankful that he said go, and not say something like, okay, well, just open up a branch of us and more, because my knowledge was not there to even do that. So I'm glad he said, train with Mestre Man. That's all he said. I was like, what do I do with Capoeira? He's like, Mestre Man's out there, train with him. He's the only one out there. And I was like, oh, okay.
Wow.
And I was like, am I still part? He's like, of course, when you come here, you're always going to be family, but you need to continue your training. You need to be with someone out there. So that was cool because it helped me develop. So when I came out here, I was like, oh, I was so used to so many capoeira being up in the Bay. There was a lot. Everybody was there. You know, Kojian, Cabrinha, Urubu, a lot of them. I mean, some of them didn't remember me when I was younger. I remember Kojan, I told him a story, and he's like, what? I was like, you don't, man, whatever. So, but it was awesome because, so I was fortunate to have that out there. And then when I came here, there was only one school. Literally one school. And I was like, oh, that's different. And when I came here, it was definitely a shock, meaning everybody, because the people at the time that were ahead of me, which is funny, all of them are no longer doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But the people ahead of me gave me a hard time, to be honest.
Yeah.
Well, because I was so different. I was so different.
Different in terms of your movement or just different in your attitude when you played?
Yeah, just the energy, just the movement. Because I played, I did a lot of different types of movements and exploring myself and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like a couple of them were like, you know, you shouldn't be doing that. I'm like, well, if you can take me down and hit me, then fine. But if you can't, then I'm going to keep doing it. You know what I mean? Because, you know,
yeah.
For me, capoeira is not limiting your expression. Like,
mm-hmm.
I always believe if you can execute and still defend yourself, then why not?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know, Messer even told me, like, okay, I know you like to do movements and it's part of your game, I could tell. As long as you can defend yourself and attack from those movements, you know, and I was like, oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was like, you know, but I remember they did give me a hard time to the point where, like, I felt like capoeira was testing me to really go, okay, how much do you love me?
Yeah.
Are you willing to go through this change and accept every aspect of this art form? Because it's a community art form,
uh-huh.
And people have differences of opinions, and it's going to clash sometimes with your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do? You know, my mind, I'm like, all right, I'm going to fight. Let's do it. But then you just look like a numbskull. They're like, oh, look, you got to get to you. Because it's a game. Everything's a game. So you have to, like, learn how to shrug it off. Do what you do in the hall that, but don't hold on to it and let go of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of those things that was kind of hard for me because I'm like, what the heck, man? It's going down. We're going to, let's go.
You hold on to that animosity.
Yeah, because it's just, you know, that's what I was used to in the streets.
Right, of course.
You know, like, if someone says something, like, well, if you, my brother's motto is, like, basically, if you're going to talk trash, then finish it. And if you're not going to finish it, I'll finish it for you. So,
you know, I can see that sometimes when I first started seeing you. Even when I would train, I would definitely get a sense of that fight in your game or in your training.
It's something that's not taught. It's just, like, I can see the other fighters, but, like, you know, I you can just see it.
Is it instinctual?
When you see someone has a hard life, you can just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
In their game?
And just in their energy. Their energy is like, you know, I use Messer Men as an example because he's had a hard life. But you can tell because, one, he's so calm. The calmer the person is,
the more dangerous
they are.
Oh, God.
You're like,
I definitely
agree
with that. That's
true. Yeah, so a lot of people, it's funny because a lot of people, like, with me, they're like, man, you're quiet sometimes. I'm like, like to hear what everybody's talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even like my cousin's like that. He's dangerous too.
It's just, you know, so I can sense it. Like, you can sense the other people, you just nod your head, like, oh man, that guy's weird, you know? But yeah, so it taught me how to understand this community because, you know, I had a couple encounters and it didn't go well and it made me look bad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look like, they're just like, oh, this kid just has a hot head. I'm like, what the hell, man? It doesn't make you look cool that, you know, you go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, it taught me, like, you have to use your head. You have to have a strategy. You can't let people know what they're thinking. You can't let things get to you. You have to let it slide. But then you can bring it back later on in the hada. Sell it there. The moment you take it out of the hada, you just look silly.
You're kind of just touching on a couple of things that happened to me a couple of days ago. Actually, last week, I got kicked in the face, and I was so pissed, and it just brought me back to, like, being intelligent and really paying attention. And granted, I bled a lot that day. When I went back into the hoda, I had that kind of, like, that aha moment. Like,
yeah.
I slowed down. my game completely changed, and I was just like, dude.
Well, you know what's funny? When people honestly, in Capoeira, when people do get like that, like it starts getting heated.
Yeah.
And someone gets hit or taken out.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the hit that hurts people. It's the aftermath, like, oh my God, you just hit me. And how did I fall for that? And how, it's more.
Yes.
It's more of your own self.
Yeah. Like I'm mad at myself because I didn't pull
my hands
up.
Two people came up to me. They're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm all right. I'm just so pissed. I can't believe I didn't block that. Like, I was bleeding profusely.
It's not even the blood. It's more of the ego.
It was so funny.
Yeah, it's the emotion.
It's
definitely the ego.
It's definitely the ego. And the thing about capoeira is, it's a very humbling art form. Because I always say this: I don't own this. All I can do is just pass on what's been taught to me. And the moment anybody thinks they can own this art form, you don't get it. That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Always going to humble you all the way up until you die doing it.
What year did you decide to start off in the valley?
Oh, that's a funny story. I didn't want to teach.
Really?
Because I didn't want to deal with people. I was still trying to learn, like, community. That's the biggest thing. I was like, I just want to train.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Mesade was actually the one that told me to do it. And I was like, so this guy, what was his name? He lives in the valley. He came down to the studio. I would just help teach
mm-hmm.
the kids' classes and the classes.
Oh, men's?
Mesade's at the airport. And this guy, I forgot his name. I ran into him too later on. He's like this judo black belt cop. I'm like, whoa, when did that happen? But back then he wanted to learn capoeira. And he asked Mesade, and Mesade was like, well, I'm out here. Oh, but Xingu's in the valley. And I was like, huh? And then he told me, he's like, you know, you should open up something in the valley. You know, you're at that level. You need to expand yourself. You need to give back to the community. You need to experience this. And I was like, what?
Not feeling it.
Yeah, not feeling at all. And I was like, who am I?
How old were you? Like, in your early 20s?
Yeah, in my early 20s, I believe. Yeah.
Like 24?
No, like 22.
Oh my gosh.
20.
So young.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of a timeline right now. How old are you right now?
I'm 36.
Okay, so you're not that much older than
No, I don't
okay.
think
no.
so, but
okay.
I think when you're 21, I feel like your head's
in my
20s.
Still
another
place.
Yeah,
I was in my 20s.
You just want to party
and
drink
and
chill.
I can definitely work out the numbers. It's been a while. But, yeah, it was definitely my 20s. And the thing is, I was just like, I honestly felt like, who am I to tell anybody to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just felt like that. Because I felt like, you know, why? And I was so scared in terms of misrepresenting the art form.
Mm-hmm.
I was pretty much an a-hole as a teacher in the beginning.
Because you were just so hard on the students?
Yeah, because I was like, that dude can attest to this if you guys have interviewed him. Back in the days of training, I'm like, you think this is a game? This isn't a game? This is real. I literally said that.
I can see that.
This is real life.
Being one of your past dudes, I could absolutely see that.
He's like, you think you better be ready for this? I used to make them kick each other hard and just take it. So I'm like, because I was just like, you need to understand that this is not a game.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get hit. It's real. It's all, you know, it's just hidden though. And they're like, what is wrong with this dude? So I was very scared that I didn't want to get the wrong information. And I remember I used to call him yesterday a lot. And I remember our first bachizado, everybody even said that this guy would call a lot, you know, and Shingu, good job. And I was like, for me, it was like, well, who am I? You know, who am I? It's like, I never felt like I'm the guy that should be that guy to give information. I'm just the server. I'm like, okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, boom. You want me to fight this person? Go. You want me to do? What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then to put me in that leadership, it was just like, and he didn't really, he kind of let me experience it. I asked these questions, like, think about it. I was like, okay.
Like, I could hear him
that.
Saying
yeah,
that too.
It was like some Obi-Wan Yoda type of.
Did you start in a dance academy? Was it a dance school that you had started at, or did you start
So
like,
yeah, I
like
just started renting out. I rented out the first place I started teaching was at Debbie Reynolds Dance Studio. I rented a place out, rented
mm-hmm.
that place out, and I remember no one showed up for a while. I pass out flyers, and I would just sit there and wait. I'm like, man, I'm wasting money here, dude. I don't want to do this.
It's hard.
Yeah. So then the first student that I actually had, the first two students I had were two guys that I met at a club. So they were the first, but they wanted me to come to their house. It was Gerald and Jeremy. They were the actually first, but they just wanted to learn the movements, not per se actual.
The art, yeah.
Not yet. They were just kind of like, oh man, it was at a rave. I was flipping around. They're like, oh man, what is that? Is that capoeira? I was like, yeah. But my actual first academy students were, it was Larson, this guy Larson and his friend. So they came in, like, hey, I got this flyer. I was like, all right, well, cool. I was like, two people, that's cool. You know, better than none. Mm-hmm. It was like already 2-3 months, almost nobody.
Oh, wow.
Just because it was so new still, you know, like, didn't understand it.
No, absolutely.
YouTube was non-existent.
Yeah, yeah, no,
nothing.
There was no information.
There was no information. So dancers kind of knew about it because they seen it every now and again. And mm-hmm. I remember they used to call me just the capoeira guy. I used to do a lot of music videos back in the days because of doing capoeira. And they're just, oh, you're the capoeira guy. I was like, oh, yeah, whatever. I have a name, but they didn't care. So Larson and his friend were the first two students, and they're in there. And I was teaching them for about maybe 2-3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, one guy pops his head in, and he's like, hey, is this like the capoeira school? And I was like, yeah, I'm teaching it. He's like, oh, cool. Can I take a class? I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, I'll be back. I was like, okay. And the guy... It was Rama, Ramel.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he comes in, it's like 15 guys deep. I was like, what the heck?
Wow.
And they're all like these Thai Asian guys, and they're all like thugged out, kind of.
Is it Tony?
Yeah, it was Tony, all of them. So I was like, oh man, am I gonna have to fight these guys? What's up, dude? Who are these cats? Like, they just rolled in, kind of like, all right, yeah, man, what's up? Like, I was like, I just gotta, cause from where I'm at, when someone goes in and comes out and brings, and just like,
something's up.
My wall just went up, and I was just like, all right, man, what's really happening here? And one of them saw me. We used to dance. Me, Ish, Versace, used to dance at this place called Sky Sushi a lot. And I would do flips off the bar just doing capoeira moves, cause I would practice my night training. That's what I called it. It was night training for me. And a lot of those guys used to go there. They're like, hey, man, aren't you the guy from Sky Sushi that's jumping around?
We're completely dating ourselves, by the way, from all these sites that you're telling me. I remember partying at Sky Sushi 15 years ago.
I'm glad I don't know what you're talking about, so that I don't
it
have
was
to
a
date
very
myself.
Popular,
it was
club.
A very popular hip-hop,
it was
let
insane.
You dance type
yeah,
of club.
Yeah, really nice club.
So, yeah, and they let me flip off the bars. They just let me do everything.
Wow.
And I was like, that was awesome. Because places were like, hey, man, you can't do that. And I'd be like, don't worry, I'm a professional.
I got this. No one's going to get
this,
hurt.
Bro. I got this.
Don't worry. So, yeah, they remember me from there. And, like, all of a sudden, they just kept coming back.
That's
I was like,
cool.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. So they were, like, the first batch of people. And I was just even more freaked out now because I'm like, oh, man, I got to make sure I give the right information. Because
mm-hmm.
if I don't, I'm going to disrespect this art form, and I don't want to do that.
Right.
You know, it's given so much to me, and I got to learn, like, okay, I got to make sure I represent it right. And I used to yell at these guys, man. And that dude can attest to it, like, dude, he would just be so hard on this. Like, what are you doing? What do you think this is?
It's funny, but I'm sure, I know it's not funny, because you were still, I mean, you were hard when I started out in 2005, so.
Yeah, I was even, yeah. I
you're
was,
so nice now,
yeah,
can I just tell
the
viewers
students.
Out there?
Yeah.
I came up from a hard, it was, he's much more nicer
hard
now.
Hard knocks.
Yeah, I was in a school of hard knocks
but
for a while.
I would yell, literally, what do you think you're doing? They're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Exactly. So why are you doing it that way? Like, I don't know, but don't do it. It's like, it made no sense. It was just...
that vague militant training that you're
it was.
Throwing down.
And we would train hard. We would go like, and I, you know, I never kept track of the time. I didn't care if these people had jobs or school the next day. So I'd make them like, we would train literally 4 hours. It'd be like 12 at night. They're like, I have to go home. I'm like, what? And they're like, I have to school tomorrow? I was like, oh, yeah, okay, all right, we're going to end class. Sometimes it happened like
all
that.
All right, well, okay.
All right,
yeah.
you can go.
Yeah,
okay,
so.
It's midnight.
But we would train late. It was crazy, so.
So you started, so that was, what, 2000 and?
It was 2000 when when I became a professor, and then, like, the end of 2000, I believe. No, 2000 in June. 2001 in June.
Yeah.
I started teaching 2000 for MESFIT, and then 2001 in June is when he told me.
When do you think you started to feel more used to teaching people, when it started to feel almost easy?
Now? Like, now? 15 years later? 2015. I'll be honest, wow. Like, when I became a Gandhi MESFIT, things started clicking.
When did that start happening? When did MESFIT come up to you and say, okay, it's time?
Oh, you know, he would ask plenty of times. I'm like, not me. Yeah, he would ask, you think you're ready? No, I'm not.
Nope.
Yeah, he would do, like, we'd have the upper belt meetings. Who here thinks they're ready to be a Gandhi MESFIT? But not me, dude. I'm cool where I'm at. Because it's just
in the back eating an apple, like on a stool, like, nope.
But then when he said, no, you're ready, it's like, he's my master. So he, you know, I have to have faith and believe that he knows what's best for me. You know, but for me to understand community, I mean, I think somebody, I even gave a speech on it because I was telling the truth.
I remember you talking about that. I think the story was Mr. Cordeon was something with a beating bound. He grabbed it out of your hand.
Yeah. He doesn't remember that. That's the funny part. He's like, you're like, what? I was like, no, I remember, man.
I'm sure he's done that to many people.
Many students,
no matter how young, no matter how grown-ass men, I'm sure he's done that too.
I love him, man. He was awesome. But, yeah, so I started to finally, I'll be honest, we started to kind of get it, like, then when that happened. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. So this is, you know, I'm still working on it. It's tough because you're talking about me unlearning things that I've learned since I was young.
Mm-hmm.
So I sometimes have to catch myself, like, oh, well, chill out. Hey, don't worry about it. Let it happen. Don't worry.
Now that there's schools in the Valley, because you were the first one actually out here in the Valley, do you feel that there's any sense of, like, sort of competition in the other schools, or...?
No, because everyone's so different. Everyone's so different. You know, as long as they feel they're presenting the art form the best way they can, and they got the okay from their MESFIT, that's the thing. You know, that's a big one for me as a person. Someone has to vouch for you. You can't just, like, hey, like, who are you? You know, and there was a couple of people out here that is funny. They had no capoeira experience at all. They were just gymnasts.
Mm-hmm.
And one apparently said he broke my legs in a fight. That was funny, man.
That's a cool rumor.
Yeah.
Wasn't the other way around.
And then I confronted him about that, and he was like, "What are you talking about, man? You know, I don't know what you're talking about." And he's like, you know, I want to learn. Can I learn from you? I was like, no. Because you're just going to take whatever knowledge I give you and just try to pawn it off without even going through the actual course of the blood, sweat, and tears and all the craziness that happens mentally, inner work that happens to Gupwater.
You were talking about that knowledge and sharing that knowledge. I remember that being a big part of my Gupwater when I first started. In terms of that information and what's out there now, like, how do you feel about students that are learning capoeira now? Like, do you think?
Oh, man. You know what? It's seeing it from where, when I was younger to now, it's definitely become a sensation in all aspects. Community, publicity-wise, movements, fighting. It's an MMA now. It's like, you know, it's like no one can say anything about it. No one can say, well, I don't know how effective is that. Like, dude, have you been watching?
Yeah, you know? Were telling me earlier today.
Yeah, there's a lot of MMA fighters are taking certain aspects from it that are actually cross-training with it and doing these movements as part of their training.
What are some movements that you've seen?
Oh, man, that's the Mea Luigi Compasso is a big one. A lot of fighters use that now. The Negativo Hole, there's some fighters that are using that. When they get swept or kicking down, they hole right away. It's like, whoa, where did they learn that? You know, and then you find out later on they've been messing around with this art form.
That's so crazy.
You know?
Yeah.
I still have it. I need to look it up.
Yeah, there's like a lot of big fighters, the big namers, just look at it, and they respect it. They see it, they're like, oh, because they understand it. They're like, oh, man, I get it. I can use that. So they take what they can use, obviously, and it's effective for them. And that's part of the evolution of martial arts, that these great fighters are seeing that this art form has a lot to attribute to their fighting skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much vouched for. It's very much real. It's not some dance like some people that see it. And those are the people that still have to learn, you know. That's why I feel like a real martial artist will look at it and go, yep, that's...
There's something that can be applied.
Yeah, there's something. This thing's crazy. It's real. I believe it's more so the people that are still learning. They're, you know, they haven't educated themselves about
art forms yet, or it's just the people who are just blind, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. for some reason. And it could be just a lot of things. Yeah.
So your school is going to be the first year that your school is going to break off from the main studio and have a bachizado.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
What kind
Again,
of
a, was that by choice?
Was that by choice?
You're
I actually wanted to ask
like,
you about
you're ready
that.
To have an event.
No.
Are you ready to have an event?
It was the students. The mm-hmm. students really wanted to start doing it, so...
That's cool.
And again, this is me growing, because I've been dodging... I'll be honest, I was dodging that bullet for a while, dude.
That's a huge testament to the growth and the influence you have in the community. Like, your students are the ones that are pushing you to have the event.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome.
No, yeah, I do. I appreciate it now. I'm learning a lot. It humbled me.
Yeah,
even
that's
more
cool,
so.
Dude.
So it's the hada of life, man. Because it is. Because I'll be honest, but they, you know, it's helping me understand how to be better in the community. Because you have to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm still learning. It's again, it sounds funny for me to say that because some people just have it, some people understand it, but I'm still learning what this means about like, okay, community. It's a big word.
What do you think you want your school to be known for in terms of Kapo Batuki as in the valley?
That we're representing the art form the right way.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's all I want. You know, you don't have to be, I always tell them, you don't have to be the greatest at everything, but at least know everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just representing the art form the best they can with the right knowledge and the right understanding of what's happening. And how to transcend it from the hada into life. Not just be a person that goes, oh, okay, then they put Kapo in a little box, and they go out, when they go to do their work and everything, and they just go, okay, I'm going to get to that when it hits 5 o'clock. The applications that you learn in Capoeira runs deeper than movements and the whole concept that's around it. It actually can transcend itself into everyday living.
Transcend is a huge, I agree with you 100%. There's so many times when I thought about something and just bring it back to Capoeira.
Oh, yeah.
Supplies, like, heck, freaking play, fall, get up, and go
yeah.
again.
Well, yeah, you can't, and sometimes you can't go head on with people. Say you're at a job, and you work, your boss is just a major, you know, whatever. You can't just go in there and start cussing. You gotta think of a strategy, because if
mm-hmm.
you do that, you're fired.
Yep.
You ain't got no job.
Yep.
So it helps you understand how to work with people. And that's a skill that a testament for myself, that is worth more than gold. Mm. To be the greatest acrobatic fighter, music and all that stuff, and Kapoeira, that's great. But to be the greatest person and have integrity from that art form and transcend it to your everyday life, I think that's worth more. For me.
Yesterday, Heimundo said that. Body sports event opening night. It's like Capoeira teaches you to be a citizen.
Yeah.
Like,
you have to have good integrity.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Why my motto of my school is may my character not spoil my destiny. That means you gotta check yourself. Basically. You can't, don't think, it's better to be humble. Because you got a lot more to learn. So
Shingu, before we actually started recording, I was asking you, I was looking at your logo and I was really interested in the things that you're working on. You have jiu-jitsu, esgrima,
mm-hmm.
and capoeira.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of touched on how those things all complement each other.
Oh, yeah. So for me, I'm the biggest martial arts geek. You know, so I loved it. I mean, for me, it helped me survive. So I always, you know, I've done another art form for a long time, which was esgrima. And I realized that was my rude awakening, or not my rude awakening, but my waking of understanding, like, wow, this art form actually can coexist with this art form, and they actually work well together.
What's esgrima for those who don't know?
Esgrima is a Filipino martial art. It's done with a stick and a knife.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's basically how the story of that goes is when the Spaniards came to overrun, you know, basically the Philippines, which has been overrun by plenty of people in different ways.
Yeah.
But they fought back and were actually doing well, winning and whatnot. but then the Spaniards used religion to control them, and they took away all their blades. So a lot of the fighters had to translate or take that the techniques of the blade to the stick. So a lot of them, it's all bladed techniques. And the beauty of it, it was like, oh wow, this actually works with capoeira, because for me personally, you know, I remember reading, Mestre let me read when I went to Brazil with him, like way back. And he got Mestre Pastinha's diary, and I got to read some of it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Cool.
I remember
cool.
You told me this, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, what? He's messing around with weaponry in there. And I was like, is this, wait, what? And he's like, here,
wow.
Get back. So, you know, it's funny because even Mestre Bimba, you know, after you hit a certain level, he wants you to learn another art form. He's like, okay, you need to add this or understand some of this. And a lot of the books that I've read and people that I've talked to that train with him, like, yeah, he was very open about things. So for me, it was like, oh, wow, this can be the complementary to capoeira in terms of the weaponry, because it blends in so well. Yoga Ji Fakao, you know, Yoga Ji Fakao, Makulule, it doesn't interfere with its interpretation, you know? And actually, it actually, for me, fills in the holes to make the application happen,
mm-hmm.
you know?
What are the holes that you're
referring to? The holes that I'm referring to is like, you know, because Makulule, a lot of people, I've been, you know, have said it's this is a lost art form, the dance is there, but that there's actual a system. But of course, a lot of people didn't write anything down. It was passed down from family to family to family. And those generation of those people were actually, once they all disappeared, kind of disappeared with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I haven't seen anybody or heard of anybody that knows the whole art form of Makulule in terms of an actual system going from fighting to the dance and everything, you know. It's one of those things, just like, I don't know, I remember talking to Messer and asking about it. It's like, sometimes just because the education wasn't there, people couldn't write things down.
That's interesting. What other art form that you're working with is
jiu-jitsu? So Brazilian jiu-jitsu has made its mark. It's still a fairly young art form, but it works because they made it work in the streets of Brazil. So it's, for me, it's the other art form of Brazil that's like, it makes sense. And then, you know, I didn't really do it until a friend of mine, who's an awesome jiu-jitsu player, when I first encountered it, he was like, you know, if you get into one of these things, you can't get out. And I was like, yeah, but you know, I wrestled, I could probably do something. He got me in a hold of that, I think it was an arm bar, and it was like, I couldn't get out, I was going to break my arm. And then the aha moment for me was like, okay, I got to do this, because what happens if someone does this to me? My God, what a nothing. I was just stuck because
mm-hmm.
I didn't understand it. So I was like, okay, I want to start doing this. And I started training with John Machado, who's actually his teacher. And then I was training with him for a while. Then when he moved further away, later on, teamed up with one of his black belts who opened up a schoolhouse in the valley, and I've been with him since. But the concept of jiu-jitsu is pretty much the same concept of capoeira. But instead of it being done standing in front of each other, it's done on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a strategy game, there's a floreo of movements, there's just this whole flow to it that's very easy to understand because of capoeira. So I always believe a jiu-jitsu player can be a great capoeirista if they want to, and a capoeirista can be a great jiu-jitsu player if they want to. And the ones that do make that transition, they do really well. There's a couple of people like, you know, Ninja, not the Mesa Ninja, great jiu-jitsu player. There's a couple other people that just were able to, you know, make the transition
mm-hmm.
and understand it.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
In terms of the future for your students and your school, what would you hope for? What would you like to happen?
I would just like my students to be confident in who they are, the person with these art forms. Meaning, one, they can feel safe walking down the street in a dark alley. And two, learn how to handle a situation without resorting to extreme measures first.
Mm-hmm.
Like thinking about it, okay, no, that's cool. you know, I'm confident in who I am. I don't, this doesn't have to affect me. I don't have to react to this. I don't have to let my emotion get the best of me. Because that's the hard thing, especially out here in LA, man. Everybody wants to test you. They come up to you. And you're like, man. Are you?
We're both rolling our eyes. You're like, fuck. Yeah.
No, I can definitely. You know? I feel like as being your student for about 8 years, I feel like I've grown as a person, like, mentally and,
yeah,
and how to cope with things. I agree.
We all do. That's the thing. I would never get mad at anybody that's trying to understand who they are. Trust me, I've had students. I've had everybody do everything to me. The honest truth is, and I will never hold a grudge to it or be mad because I understand it's a process. They're trying to find themselves, you know? And in that process, sometimes you make the bad decision, but as a community, as a family, we learn. And as a leader of the community, you learn to understand, okay, that's not why they're upset. It's something greater. Or that's not why, yeah. And it's my job to help. That's what it is. My job to help. I believe to be a teacher in Capoeira or in any art form, a leader, your job is to be a server to others to help. Because if you don't like helping people, you don't want to serve, then you shouldn't be teaching. You're doing it for ego reasons, like, oh, I want people to like me, or I want you to bow down, then that's going to bite you in the butt later on. Pretty
hard.
You
can see ass on the air.
No? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I'm just thinking of a couple occasions where I've had conversations with mysteries and asked them, like, what do you think attributes to the success of this? And in Costa Rica, I remember with Mr. Chicoch, he was saying it was just the master's ability to acknowledge the student that they're teaching is also a person, it's a friend.
Yeah.
And having that communication and that relationship is so important.
Exactly. And on top of it, to not abuse the power of a leadership.
Absolutely.
Every art form and every person, I've seen it. At first I used to think like, oh, what? You know, but it happens. And again, that's why I always look at that logo or that saying in my studio, me and my character, and that's one of my destinies, to make sure it keeps me in check. Like, who are you to think or ask of these people things that if it's too much for them, don't ask, you know? Don't put them in a position that makes them feel this way. Because that, for me, isn't cool, because now you're crossing a barrier of manipulation. And you're no longer certain. And, you know, people might get mad at me for saying things, but hey, you know what? Truth is, it happens in every position of power. Or not, I don't want to say power, leadership. They start to confuse leadership with power, and they start to do bad mistakes, and they start to do things because they're only human too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of, like, you know, we got to always check ourselves as leaders to make sure we're serving our students and serving the community and not actually cross boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard, and that's the hard part of being a leader, knowing when is it being a leader to help the people, or now you're only cheating your ego.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of things right now are kind of transcend, like going back to that whole transcending, because I'm learning right now to be a leader at my job, so it's just interesting to hear these things again kind of apply to what I'm trying to accomplish.
And it's hard, because the thing is, it's in every facet of any position that you're in, any workplace,
mm-hmm.
and people do make mistakes. Now, if you make a mistake, you better own up to it and, like, you know, fix it, you know, because that's part of a leader. A part of a leader is also, if you do make a mistake, knowing you made a mistake, and kowtowing, go, you know what, it's all me, and I'm very sorry, and I hope you guys can forgive me, or whatever. And as part of a leader, is to understand that not everybody will forgive you if you do make mistakes, but you got to be okay with that, and understand through time, you're learning, they're learning, we're all learning, and then, you know. So that's what I feel for me a leadership is, like, not to confuse leadership with power, and not to feed the ego, but to serve people.
Can you plug your event, all the details, please?
Oh, yeah, and then also our first Bachizada out here, it will be from April 24th to the 25th. The actual date of the Bachizada, the 24th will be workshops on a Friday. Saturday will be the workshops and the bachizada for the kids and the adults. And then Sunday is going to be just like an open hall there at the park.
at Woodland Hills Park. It's on Topanga Canyon Boulevard in Ventura.
Nice. Do you have anyone in mind for your workshops? Do you have some itinerary, preliminary
set? Yep. I'm still learning how to do all this.
You got to have a secretary to refer to, right? You got a student, right? You got that one organized person.
Well, I'm still learning how to let people... I don't like bothering people with stuff, so I'm learning how to... share the responsibilities.
Right on.
But we do. Mesra Men's gonna be there. He's gonna be teaching a workshop. Professora Pabao, Cuatro Meses Muerte Temple, Professor Minya Velha, and then also my jiu-jitsu teacher Luis Bayek. We also have a yoga teacher that's teaching. Natalie, she teaches yoga at my studio. We also have Latif. He's going to be teaching acrobatics. Who else is there? Oh, and then we're also going to have some stick fighting.
Oh, right on.
Stream of classes.
It's just going to be you hitting them?
No, yeah. I had to tone that down, too. But, yeah, no, it's not going to be like that.
Damn.
Should do like
and then we also have... hopefully... Mr. Mariano will be able to teach a workshop. I still have to confirm with him.
Do you have prices?
It's on my phone.
We'll edit.
At least he has notes ready to go.
Yeah, let me pull it up. It will be... I need to post this up as soon as possible. You know how it is. We're on Brazilian time. It will come out. Okay, so the actual students, it's $150 for them. Visitors, if they want to do the full event, $70. For the workshops, per workshop, it'll be $35. If they just come for the bachizada only, $40. And if we run out of T-shirts and they come to the bachizada, they only have to pay $30.
Oh, very cool. Hey, at least you have something. It happens. You run out of shirts.
Yeah. Yeah.
The hell, where's my shirt?
It does happen. Yeah. So, and shirts cost a lot of money.
They do.
That's probably one of the biggest expenses.
That's the first heart attack I think that.
I didn't realize it until it happened. I was like,
is it a 4-digit number?
Yeah, it's definitely. It's a lot more than I like. What?
Y'all better buy these T-shirts.
So yeah, that's the pricing for the event. I will post it on Facebook. You know. Whoever can come.
Cash only or?
Come. That's a good question.
Details.
Details.
Venmo or?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good idea. As of now, cash only. And I'm going to figure out how to make it card because I know a lot of people have cards.
Jamie.
We didn't even have a. What I did Pasadena, I was like begging Moito and he had the square and he like never gave it to me. So we had to do.
Cash only?
Check.
Yeah, check or cash only. See, that's good.
And then we sent them to the nearest ATM.
Yeah. There actually is an ATM on the premise. It's at the Calabasas Community Center. It's a nice community center. So there is an ATM machine there.
Okay, well, that's good.
Good to know.
Yeah. And, yeah, so it should be a good event. The spot's really, really nice. So.
All right, cool.
Well, Contramestre Shingu.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Very candid, but very, very insightful today.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
A lot of stuff, like you were worried about being too blunt, but I think in being blunt, there was a lot of things that transcend capoeira, and I think a lot of people are going to be able to apply what they learn in capoeira to a lot of things out there in life, and it's a good reminder of that, so thank you.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Yeah, like I said, the art forms definitely... help me. It's helping me to this day to learn how to maneuver in this crazy world called life.
And for those that want to train at your school, if you're ever in town, what's the address of this school?
My school is over in Canoga Park. It's 6901 Topanga Canyon Boulevard, number 203. It's right above the Metro PC store. Cross street is Bassett. We have classes every day, all the way up to Saturday, and we have morning classes. You could go to xlvcbmartialarts.com or valleycapoeira.com. And also now we're having boot camp happening called MOVE, Motion Objective Versatile Exercises. For all those people that say, I need to get in shape before I do capoeira or any other art form, we have that now.
Nice. No, and do you have a Twitter, Instagram account?
Yes, we have Twitter, Instagram, and you can find it on Facebook.
I don't know my Twitter account or Instagram screen name.
But it's connected to my Facebook and it's connected to the website. So definitely
it's
go
all on there.
It's so. On the website. So.
All right. Thank you so much for being
Thanks
on our
again.
Show. Honestly, like your name already popped up when I was like, I want to make a podcast. So I'm really happy I had you.
Oh, no. Thanks
yeah,
for
yeah,
having me.
Yeah,
and
I'm
like
really
this
is awesome.
Years.
Really
I think it's cool because I never knew about podcasts until now, and I think it's really cool. But the fact that you guys are actually doing something within this community, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
No, thank you guys.
I haven't
cool.
offended anyone yet.
Once you guys start making that money, you gotta give back to the community.
We need to figure that out too. So, well, thank you so much.
All right, guys, that was the episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And just in case you guys didn't catch that information, his website is valleycapoeira.com. His Instagram is xlvcb_martial arts. And the event itself is from April 24th through the 26th. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you again, Shingu, Jamie, as always. Always a good time.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.